The business body formed specifically to deal with the COVID-19 situation, Business for South Africa, released their strategy for the economic renewal of the country last week, Friday. The body has called for an urgent social compact between business, government, labour and civil society, suggesting that a task team be set up to agree on priority actions needed to be activated across sectors, which they want President Cyril Ramaphosa to head, and most importantly, for those planned actions to be implemented. They're calling for far-reaching economic reforms. The body reckons South Africa will need around 3.4 trillion rand to be spent on the public and private sector, and says some of that money will need to be secured from foreign investors. Well, to tell us more about their plan, possible buy-in from government and its urgency, I'm joined on the line by Cas Couvardier. He's the CEO of BUSA. Thanks very much, Cas, for joining us. So you've talked about South Africa having now come to a fork in the road. Just paint us a picture of how business currently views the prospects of the economy as we brave the COVID-19 pandemic storm. And of course, we're standing at that fork in the road.
Yeah, so I think we've come to what I've decided at the T junction, and we have one of two choices. So I think we must appreciate that even pre-COVID, our economy was in dire straits. We were in recession, essentially. At the beginning of COVID, we were downgraded by Moody's as the only major rating agency that still had us in investment grade. So we are in sub-investment grade now. COVID is going to lead to approximately 10% drop in the GDP, projection of about 300 billion and shortfall in tax collection. So we are in a serious situation. And what we are saying through the document we released on Friday is that we have one of two choices. The wrong choice takes us into what could be very close to a failed state. The correct choice takes us onto a long, hard road to economic recovery, but we can only do that if we attract the necessary investment. On the back of that, we get growth going, and we must get inclusive and equitable growth going so that businesses are formed, businesses grow, they are profitable, they pay taxes. We broaden our tax base, and in that way, we begin to address our fiscal situation. So it's all of those things. And right now, we are in serious crisis, and we need urgent decisions, and we need some courageous leadership.
Yeah. So your plan is talking about the potential of some 1.5 million jobs being created. What sort of initiatives would the country have to pursue to make this a reality?
Well, there are some stuff that can be done immediately. I mean, so we can, tomorrow, if we really wanted to, put out the RFPs for the next tranche of renewables. That begins to address our energy situation and begins to create more jobs in renewables. We can take the decisions to actually plow the necessary resources into fixing up particularly our Durban port, which is creating serious backlog and so on in goods that are imported and exported. We can release more spectrum and get our data sorted out. So there's some stuff that can be done immediately.
Yeah.
We've been talking about infrastructure projects. We can identify 4 or 5 critical infrastructure projects, get them to market, and the financial sector in this country is ready to fund well-structured infrastructure projects that have some sort of an income stream.
Yeah. So, Cas, all of those can be done
and it can create jobs.
Yeah. Cas, when you engage the government about these items that you've just raised, you know, the spectrum, for example, and the renewables, what's the holdback? Why are they not able to come to the party in this regard?
Well, that's the 100 million rand question. I think that we met the president and 5 or 6 ministers. We put this to them. Everybody said it's a good document. Everybody accepts that we've got to move, but there's no movement. And whether it's as a result of capacity, whether it's as a result of problems in the governing party, whether it's a problem of cabinet that's not very cohesive. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that I think we have President Ramaphosa. I think President Ramaphosa is our only bet. And what we are essentially saying is that we are prepared to stand behind him and help in any way that business can if he shows the leadership and actually demonstrates the urgency of the situation and the crisis we are in, and marshals his troops to actually start moving. Mm.
At the same time that you released your plan, the ANC's economic transformations head also released the party's vision for getting the country through COVID and beyond, with infrastructure being, you know, of big emphasis. You guys are also focusing on infrastructure. So when it does come to the investment in infrastructure, is there a disjuncture in terms of how to go about it between yourselves as business and government?
Well, I think there's a lot of emphasis in some ANC circles on utilization of pension funds and so on.
Yes.
We believe that if you have well-structured infrastructure projects that have some sort of an income stream, the private sector is prepared to fund it. Sure, pension, the PIC and other pension funds will come to the party, but it's not a question of utilizing the pension funds to fund this infrastructure. We need a broad mix of funding, and the private sector, the private financial sector, have been crying for such infrastructure. They fund such infrastructure projects in other parts of the continent.
Yes,
and they are crying to fund that here. So I think we need to differentiate infrastructure that has an income stream. Let the private sector fund it.
Mm.
If it's properly structured, if it's transparent. If the rules are set and the rules are kept to, private sector will fund that. For social infrastructure, let's look at a mix of funding between the private and public sector.
Yeah.
So let's differentiate between those. But the big thing is let's make the decisions to get them to market and let
Look, I mean, I don't think you can really put any more emphasis on this, Cass. And for years, we have spoken about, urgency. But I think COVID has changed things a lot.
Yeah.
And the urgency is that much greater. Now, in terms of the understanding between social partners, that is yourselves, government, business, government and labor and civil society, do you think it is at a place now where it's so much improved that you can actually catalyze the things that you're talking about? Because the time for talking has to stop.
Yeah. Look, I think during COVID, the relationship between, certainly in our view, between business, labor, and government, certainly at MEDLAC, has improved quite a bit in dealing with the COVID situation, in dealing with the crisis. I think that the, you know, that we still need to, we will interact with labor, we will interact with other constituencies on the document we released. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're on the same page yet as one, the urgency of the situation and crisis is concerned. Two, I don't think we're on the same page in some ways ideologically.
Yes.
But I think that what we have put to the president is we're not saying ours is the only game in town.
Mm.
Okay, what we are saying is that what we have put on the table is a comprehensive fact-based document and strategy that we're introducing that to the debate on how we actually would urgently take our country forward.
Yeah.
More than willing to engage on other documents, but what we suggested is a reconstruction team of a small team, senior-level team that can actually get into the detail of whatever is put on the table. Let's try to agree on some of the critical issues. Let's then say that there's going to be compromises and trade-offs across the board, not only for government and labor, but for business as well.
Mm.
And let's see how we move this thing forward.
Mm.
But we need to do that with urgency. We need to rise above the trust deficit. We need to rise above the politics and put this country number one on the agenda.
Yeah. Cass, you guys are constantly talking about labor reforms. What is it about labor that needs to change?
Well, look, I think what we're saying is that in a country that has, you know, the 32% unemployment, we need to concentrate on creating as much employment as possible. Okay. And we need to make it less difficult for businesses to employ people, and if people aren't performing, to fire people. Right? Now, that doesn't mean we're talking about slave wages. That doesn't mean we're talking about anything but decent work conditions. We must ensure all of that, but we can't expect a medium business, and we're saying we all need to promote small and medium businesses.
Yes.
To be sitting in court or at the CCMA for days on end because they want to fire somebody who just hasn't performed. Okay, you can't have a situation where businesses take people on probation, and the person during the probation has not performed, and you ask the person to leave, that person goes to the CCMA. Okay, so we've got to agree on what we mean by good and fair and equitable work conditions.
Yes.
and treatment of workers. And we've got to agree that we want people to perform and perform well. And we've got to agree that if people aren't performing well and as a result of that they are asked to leave, we all accept that. Now, if there's, and we can put checks and balances into place.
Yes.
If an employer has quite clearly acted against the law and quite clearly clearly acted in a way that treating an employee in a totally inequitous fashion, law must take its course and that employer must pay the price for it. But we can't have a situation where employers or potential employers say we are not prepared to take on people because it's just too difficult for us to fire people if they don't perform. You know, we're certainly not saying a fundamental review of the labor market and labor laws. What we are saying is that let's understand that we need to get as many people as possible into employment, because until they are in employment, they don't have, they're not on that lowest rung of the ladder from which they can actually climb into this economy.
That was Cass Kouvadia. He's the CEO of Business Unity South Africa.